Milo's Pro Rewards members. Save big during Lowe's Pro Savings Days. Get your member volume discount plus an extra 5% off eligible orders with a quote of $2,000 or more. And buy more and save more with up to 20% off in-stock molding when you spend $250 or more. Members get more at Lowe's. Valid through 7/31. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Can't be combined with any contract or special pricing. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit the Pro Desk or Lowe's.com/terms for more details. Subject to change.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk. Breathe. Rechalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is The Big Breakdown. A long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Well, these efforts are back in the news again. Is anyone surprised? It's too much true crime going on in my actual city. These people live here. Ran into him at a restaurant not that long ago. And I regret holding the door. There was a phone call on March 17th, 2026, that a father in Arkansas had probably been dreading making for years. He'd learn what allegedly had happened to his daughter, his 9-year-old daughter. And anytime you bring up the words 9-year-old daughter and the Duggars in one sentence, you know where this is going to go. During a family vacation in Panama City Beach, Florida, back in 2020, and instead of going straight to a lawyer, he picked up the phone and confronted the man responsible directly. Who's the man allegedly responsible? Joseph Duggar. He didn't deny it. He admitted it to the father. And because a tiny town police detective was quietly on the line the entire time, he admitted it again, twice, on the record. According to the arrest affidavit released by the Bay County Sheriff's Office, Joseph Garrett Duggar allegedly harmed a young girl on multiple occasions over the course of that vacation. He allegedly asked the 9-year-old girl, one of the Duggars, uber Jesus-y, oh my gosh, they feel the spirit, they know the way, they have the light, they have the only way in the light because Jim Bob says so, and when Jim Bob's your dad, and this, I mean, this is the... I hate these people. I hope you do too. Little dipshit Duggar here allegedly asked the 9-year-old to sit on his lap repeatedly. He sat beside her on a couch. He allegedly covered them both with a blanket. What allegedly happened under that blanket is documented in the affidavit and is the basis for the serious charges he now faces. This allegedly happened more than once. At some point, according to investigators, he apologized, and the incidents reportedly stopped, because that's how it works with the Duggars, remember? You just say you're sorry, and it's a youthful indiscretion. Oh, wait, he's 30-some years old with a 9-year-old. Remember when Joshy, it was a youthful indiscretion? It's looking more like a predatory pattern of behavior that... You got in your hands there, Jim Bob, with your little boys, your little angels. Wonder where they learned this shit. I'm not insinuating anything. I'm just saying, I think we should start looking. I think more people might start talking. The girl told no one for years. She is now 14. On March 18th of 2026, Joseph Garrett Duggar, seventh of Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar's 19 children, husband of Kendra Coldwell, father of four kids all under the age of eight, was booked into the Washington County Detention Center in Fayetteville, Arkansas. He was 25 years old when this allegedly happened. He had been married for 3 years. He already had children of his own. His mugshot was released hours later. Neutral expression, you know, the messy hair, dark gray t-shirt, kind of that smug. I didn't do anything wrong. I atoned for it. What? But isn't this how this works? I say I'm sorry and everything just goes away. You shiny, happy mother. I tell you what, this Duggar lucked out again that the dad didn't just murder him, because that's probably what I would have done. Or there'd be a few limbs missing off of a Duggar when he's found in a ditch, still somewhat alive. Another Duggar, another child, another arrest. And you know, and here's the thing. Jim Bob, dad to these vicious little monsters, he campaigned on being pro-death penalty for child predators. I say it's time to follow what dad says. Jim Bob, you were right all along. You're right. Death to people who do this shit. I've been saying it forever. I actually agree with you on this. Let's kill your kids. Let's round up your two sons who clearly have problems, allegedly, with touching children, and let's just get rid of them off the planet. Let's make it biblical. Let's turn it into like a what word am I looking for here? Let's turn it into some sort of a biblical story. Let's make it a parable, you know? And then you can write about it and you can start your own other religion or something and people will follow you. You can have the Book of Duggar where the father looks down at the sins of their children and says, "No more. No more. My loins hath created this monster into the world. And thou shalt be taken from the planet." Right? Something like that. No, I'm not actually insisting that we go and kill the Duggars. Saying I wouldn't be disappointed if someone in prison decided to execute a certain plan that might be similar. But I'm just saying, you know, this is a campaign thing that he campaigned on. It is actually in Florida. Oh, wait, the charges are in Florida. In Florida, that's actually on the books. Now, does what he did meet that criteria? We'll be examining that in the coming weeks. Wouldn't that be nice? Oh my gosh, it actually maybe could happen by the state itself saying no more. And by, you know, Jim Bob's own belief system, what he's stood behind in the past, allegedly, of being pro, you know, getting rid of these people off of the planet. Well, you got plenty right there in your own fold. Let's start clearing house, shall we? Another Duggar, another child, another arrest. And here's a question that sits at the center of all this. the one nobody in that family seems capable of answering. How many times does the same thing have to happen before it stops being a tragedy and starts being a pattern so obvious that you'd have to be deliberately looking away not to see it? More so like a family tradition. To understand what you're looking at with this family, you have to understand what built them. Because it wasn't just religion, it was a specific structured, deliberately controlled version of religion designed, whether intentionally or not, to make absolutely certain that whatever happened inside the house stayed inside the house. And we're going to be doing a large exposure piece on this group in the coming weeks. So press subscribe and buckle up. Jim, Bob, and Michelle Duggar are devoted followers of the Institute of Basic Life Principles, the IBLP, a non-denominational fundamentalist Christian organization founded in 1961 by another predator named Bill Gothard. The IBLP operates on what it calls the umbrella of protection. It's exactly what it sounds like, a hierarchy. God at the top protecting the ruling husbands, who protect and rule over their wives, who protect and rule over their children. Women are expected to submit to their husbands instantly and cheerfully. Children submit to parents. Everyone submits to the authority above them all the time, without question. Outside influence is corrupting. Television, secular music, Barbie dolls, which one former IBLP member recalls being described as harlots. Winnie the Pooh, which another member remembered being banned because everyone Eeyore glorified depression. Oh, Eeyore. Damn Eeyore. The Duggars were not casual members of this organization. They were its most famous advertisement. Jim, Bob, and Michelle were regular speakers at the IBLP's biannual family conferences. Researchers who studied the movement have described the Duggar Show as a recruiting tool, a way to normalize and spread a belief system to millions of viewers who thought they were just watching a wholesome family from Arkansas count their kids and go on road trips. The brand was built on one message: our way is God's way. Our family is proof. But here is the part of the IBLP doctrine that matters most for the story. Reporting concerns to outside authorities is not just discouraged. Within its theology, it's disobedient. And when it's disobedient in a cult or a religion, let's call it what it is, it's a fucking cult. When it's disobedient, then you're not doing something wrong, even though somebody did something wrong to you and you're reporting it. No. We're going to make the predator the victim because you're reporting on them, and our religion that we made up and pull out of our ass says that that's wrong. See how these people just kind of flip the script, and everybody inside's like none the wiser. It's what they grew up with. No, they're supposed to handle all this stuff on their own on the inside in the name of God. Stepping outside the umbrella of male authority to contact law enforcement means breaking the divine chain of command. It means, in their worldview, defying God. The theology itself functions as a serial wound. And it encapsulates whatever happens inside their home. So those serial wounds that keep happening, they can't, you know, no one's ever going to know about that. Victims don't report because they've been taught from birth that speaking outside the family is the greater sin. And Jim Bob didn't only control this family spiritually. According to Jill Duggar's memoir, Counting the Cost, New York Times bestseller she published in 23, he controlled them financially as well. Her husband, Derek, was the first person to ask to see the TLC contract, the same contract Jill had signed on the eve of her own wedding. Before she had been given a chance to read it, Jim Bob had controlled all earnings for more than a decade of network television. The children performed on camera. Jim Bob kept the money, allegedly. When Derek and Jill pushed back and demanded to be properly compensated for their years of work on the show, Jim Bob reportedly sent Jill an email with a warning buried inside it. If she attacked the family, meaning basically told the truth of her life, her inheritance would be lowered significantly. Well, Jim Bob, I got something for you. I'm going to guess by the time you kick it, there ain't going to be much left after all the legal fees. Because I kind of got a feeling that the problems with your children go far deeper than just your children. Don't know what, don't know who, don't know where. It's probably a road we should start going down. Figure out. I mean, wouldn't you want to figure out too, Jim Bob? If you have two of your sons now have been accused of doing these things, found guilty, one of them. I mean, there's, when you have these sort of problems in your family, you want to get to the root of it, Jim. Bob? Jiminy Bob? Jim Bobby Bob? You want to get to the root of the problem, don't you? So the problem doesn't repeat itself. Where did he learn this? Where did he get off thinking this was appropriate? You got a pattern going on with the kids. Something happened somewhere. Who and what and when? I don't know. But we should probably find out. Just in case that person might be out there still with children or grandchildren. Acting like an authority figure in a church where everyone has to listen to him. Because that's the way it's structured. And if one person who's the authority figure of the church can't be questioned and nobody can go outside to report any sort of wrongdoing. I wonder where this all originates. I'm going to say it goes beyond the Duggars. Because it does. But there is a chain. And it's high time every rung of that chain is exposed. If you've had an interaction with this family, or really an interaction with the church that they belong to, maybe not even this family directly, let us know. Little private message. We'll hear your story. We won't run with it or put it on the air or anything like that without talking first, but without a doubt. But I we're going to start doing a little digging. So if you got anything to share, now is high time. And I'm not accusing any member of the Duggar family other than these two that already have been accused. One tried. The other, you know, the accusations are there. He's admitted to them. Not accusing anybody else of doing anything. I'm saying it's probably time to figure out why this is all going on. That's all. Take us where the evidence goes. I would think, you know, that'd be the way to do it, wouldn't it? Oh, actually, according to their religion, if the God incarnate Father says stop, he'll handle it, then it's all, you know, just stop everything. People subscribe to this shit today. I mean, there are hundreds of families, probably thousands, that subscribe to this religion to this day. They're like, this is working great. Until your kids grow up and write tell-all books. People are so fucking stupid. According to her memoir, he itemized every dollar he had ever spent supporting her. You know, like you do as a parent. Like I'm gonna itemize my support of you as being your parent and raising you. And told her to stop asking to be paid for her own labor. He called the show a ministry. He ran it like a corporation. And he held the family bank account over his own adult children's head as leverage when they asked questions he didn't want to answer. That's not a family. That's a machine. And like any machine, it was built to protect something. And that something was never the children. Now, to the blueprint, because Joseph Duggar did not invent this playbook, he grew up watching it work. In March of 2002, Jim Bob Duggar learned that his oldest son, Josh, then 14 years old, had been behaving inappropriately with female members of the family while they slept. He did not call the police. He met with church elders. According to a police report later obtained by In Touch Weekly through a Freedom of Information Act request, those elders agreed that Josh needed to be put in a treatment program. Jim Bob's version of treatment was to send Josh away to a family friend in Little Rock who ran a home remodeling business. Touched your sisters? Go hang some drywall. Manual labor. That was the intervention for a teenager who had been causing serious harm to the girls in his own home. Good job, Jim Bob. In March of 2003, more incidents came to light, more victims, including, according to that same police report, his sister, who was approximately 5 years old at the time. Eventually, Jim Bob took Josh to speak with an Arkansas state trooper. Come on, let's go talk to the guy with the big hat. Not to file a formal report, but for what the record describes as a very stern talk. That trooper, Joseph Hutchins, did not report the situation to the Arkansas Child Abuse Hotline as required by law, because he's a fucking idiot. He took no official action. Hutchins would later be arrested himself, convicted on serious charges involving illegal contact depicting minors, and sentenced to 56 years in prison. Jim Bob's buddy! It's like, is anyone shocked by this shit? How is anyone shocked by this family at any point anymore? How? Jim Bob's taken his little spawn of Rosemary's Baby, little spawn of Satan, to go talk to the trooper that ends up being a predator himself for a stern talk. These people, they fly in flocks. The man Jim Bob chose to handle his son's behavior had his own deeply troubling history. Wasn't until 2006, after producers of the Oprah Winfrey Show received an anonymous tip about Josh and contacted authorities, Oprah fixed the problem, that Jim Bob officially spoke to police. By then, the three-year status of limitations on felony offenses in Arkansas had expired. No charges were filed. Josh Duggar faced zero legal consequences for harming five children, allegedly, four of whom were his own sisters. The public didn't learn a lot of it until about 2015 when In Touch Weekly published the FOIA-obtained police report. And here's a detail that tells you everything you need to know about how this system operates in practice. On May 21st of 2015, the same day that report was published, an Arkansas judge ordered all remaining copies of it destroyed. The institutional evidence of what had been done to those children was being legally erased in real time, because it's Arkansas. On this same day, the rest of the county was reading about it for the first time. Josh resigned from his position at the Family Research Council and the Christian Lobbying Organization, where he had spent 2 years campaigning against gay marriage and advocating for faith, family, and freedom as a public spokesperson. Then 1 month after 19 Kids and Counting was finally canceled over the scandal, the Ashley Madison data breach hit, and Josh Duggar's name was on it. He'd paid for an account on a website explicitly designed to facilitate extramarital affairs because he just couldn't help himself, while employed as a family values lobbyist, while his wife was home raising their children, while his parents were on television telling America how Christians were supposed to live. His public statement read in part, "I have been the biggest hypocrite ever while espousing faith and family values. I have secretly, over the last several years, been viewing pornography on the internet, and this became a secret secret addiction, and I became unfaithful to my wife. He said it himself. He knew exactly what it was, and the family closed ranks around him anyways. In April of 21, federal agents arrested Josh Duggar on serious federal charges involving illegal contact depicting minors. Material downloaded onto a work computer at his car dealership. Does it surprise anyone he became a used car dealer? He had installed a hidden partition on the machine specifically to bypass the monitoring software his own wife had placed on the device to track his internet use. He was convicted in December of 21, sentenced to 12 and a half years in federal prison. He's currently incarcerated at FCI Seagoville in Texas. Earliest release 2032. And here's a fun note. While that was going on, while he was staying with a family friend for a little while before the trial and all that shit went down, I actually had found out the address of where he was staying with the family friend, and I Googled it. It was behind a Chuck E. fucking Cheese. I'm not kidding. I know, you can't make this up. After the 2015 revelations became public, Josh's cousin, Amy Duggar King, drove to the family compound and confronted him directly. She found him parked outside in an RV while his sisters were inside the house in tears. She told him that if he had ever tried to harm her, she would have called the police. Who? According to Amy's own public account, Josh Duggar's response was three words: I knew better. Huh. Well, that's spoken like a predator. I knew better. Meaning he knew who he could prey upon. He didn't mean he knew it was wrong and stopped himself. He meant he knew who was safe to victimize and who wasn't. He assessed, he calculated, he chose. Three words, the entire portrait of who Josh Duggar is sitting right there in plain sight. And I think that's the problem with all the Duggars. They know better. Each one knows better in different ways. Not that all are predators. There's not. There's so many that are complete victims of their family. But they know better. They know better than all of us just how horrific and deplorable and disgusting and just vile some of their family members are. And some have certainly spoken out in books in certain ways. I think it might be time to go a little deeper, girls. You know, I know everybody made their tell-all books and it was, you know, might be time to like really lay it down and share the rest of the story. Because I think there's other chapters here that no one's aware of. I could be wrong. But if there is, if there's more, and those people are not exposed, well, it's, you know, protecting predators. And it's up to everybody how they want to handle this sort of thing. You know, how someone wants to get involved in the media the second you start saying something. I mean, I can't imagine wanting to do that. I don't blame anybody who's been preyed upon that says, you know what? Not for me. I've already been through this shit. I don't need to re-victimize myself. I can't handle it. It's okay to say that. There should be no shame in that whatsoever. It's easy for me over here, not having been victimized that way, to say, you know, maybe it's time to say more if there's more. I guess what I would say is this. If there is someone, if there's anyone within that family that has access to children that you know should not have access to children, it is incumbent upon you to say something. It is incumbent upon you to expose that, to protect those children, if it exists. I'm not accusing any other member of the Duggar family of doing this, I'm saying the odds are probably pretty high, statistically. But we don't know. Might just be these two. But if anybody knows more, and has got the evidence, those people need to be stopped because they will not stop on their own. And I highly doubt, again, my opinion, I highly doubt it was the only time that fuckface number two over here did this. Here's a detail that should follow Jim Bob Duggar wherever his name appears in public disclosure, because it is one of the most staggering examples of documented hypocrisy in recent American political history. In 2002, the same year Josh Duggar was causing serious harm to female family members inside the Duggar home in Arkansas, Jim Bob Duggar was running for the United States Senate. And on his campaign website in the Q&A section, laying out his policy positions, archived and verified by multiple outlets, including Snopes, Jim Bob declared in writing that R and incest represent heinous crimes and such should be treated as capital crimes. Capital crimes punishable by death. So anybody who's like, oh my God, earlier you said they should put the Duggar children to death. I'm following what Jim Bob has already suggested. Their own father has said this should be the punishment. And I agree, Jim. I agree. How do we get this into place? And how do we start enacting it? He campaigned on executing perpetrators of exactly what his son was doing in his own house at the exact same time. He promoted himself as the only true moral candidate in the Arkansas Republican primary. He knocked on doors on the platform. He asked people to vote for him on his platform, and he was simultaneously meeting with church elders about his son. Rather than calling the police, running out the statute of limitations clock and sending a teenager who had been harmed, who had harmed five children, to help renovate someone's house in Little Rock. Oh, looks like you're a predator. Hey, think you can do some mudding and taping over here on the drywall. Drywall the depravity right out of you. He lost the primary. His son remained very much at home, and the girls in that house had nowhere to go. And here is what else needs to be said, because the Duggar family did not operate in a vacuum. They had a partner in all this. It was called TLC. According to published reports, the network reportedly paid the Duggar family somewhere between 25 and 45 grand per episode for 10 seasons of television. They built a ratings franchise on the fundamentalist IBLP household and marketed it to America as wholesome family entertainment. One branding expert estimated the Duggars earned about $25 million annually when the revenue streams. The network deal, the endorsement, speaking fees, book deals were combined. When Josh's troubling history became public in May of 2015, TLC did not cancel the show. They pulled episodes from the schedule temporarily, waited out the initial wave of outrage, consulted with victim advocacy organizations for the optics, and then 6 months later rebooted the entire thing as Counting On, a spinoff focused on the older Duggar children. They kept filming, they kept paying, they kept profiting. Counting On ran on for six more years. It ended in 21, not because TLC made a principal decision, but because Josh Duggar was arrested by federal marshals. And the network no longer had a choice. They issued a statement, and they moved on. The network didn't cancel it because it developed a conscience. It canceled it because its product had become legally indefensible. For years, TLC has collected revenue from a show built on a belief system that silenced victims, glorified male authorities, and treated female submission as a virtue. And they marketed it as family programming. They didn't create the Duggar machine, but they absolutely funded it. Now, pull back, because this is where the story gets larger than one family. Bill Gothard, remember him? The man I talked about at the beginning of this, who started the cult, the man whose teaching shaped every aspect of how the Duggars raised their children. Well, he resigned from IBLP in 2014 after more than 30 women came forward with allegations of harassment and misconduct. A civil lawsuit alleged he had covered up serious harm to minors within his own organization. The lawsuit was dismissed on statute of limitations grounds. The same legal clock that shielded Josh Duggar in Arkansas shielded the founder of the organization that spiritually justified his parents' silence. After Gothard was pushed out, sources interviewed in the Amazon Prime documentary, Shiny Happy People, Duggar Family Secrets, alleged that Jim, Bob, and Michelle stepped into the vacuum, encouraging IBLP followers to relocate to Arkansas, effectively positioning themselves as the movement's new standard bearers. Former family friends Jim and Bobby Holt said in the docuseries that Jim, Bob, and Michelle had become Gothard's replacement, encouraging people to come to IBLP and move to Arkansas. Bobby Holt called it a cult move. They did not walk away from the system that failed their children. According to those accounts, they took it over. And here's what that system looks like in its most devastating form. In June of 2015, Josh Duggar's sister, Jessa, one of the victims, went on Fox News and defended him. She told Megyn Kelly that calling Josh a predator was so overboard and a lie, really. She said he was a boy, a young boy in puberty, a little too curious about girls. She described what had been done to her and her sisters as mild, inappropriate touching on fully clothed victims, most of it while girls were sleeping. She was a victim on national television, defending her abuser because she'd been conditioned to do so by her cult family, using language that minimized her own experience. Because the system she had been raised inside from the day she was born had given her no other framework for understanding what had happened to her. That is what the IBLP umbrella produces when it's working exactly as designed. That is what submission culture looks like when it is fully operational. The victims don't just stay quiet, they become the defense. Some of the Duggar children eventually found their way out. It took years and it cost them. Jill Duggar Dillard was the first to break publicly and the most honest about what it cost her. She described Jim, Bob, and legal proceedings as toxic and verbally abusive. She told Vanity Fair that she maintains only limited contact with her father and that establishing strict boundaries has become necessary for her mental health. She was the only Duggar sibling to participate in the Shiny Happy People docuseries. Her memoir laid out in detail the financial manipulation, the coercion, and what she described as 15 years of television under gridded by secrecy and lies. She said many of her siblings had since come to her privately asking how to make sure Jim Bob could not infiltrate or control their own marriages. Sounds like a lovely family you got there, Jim. He looks just as plastic in person as he does on television. Ginger Duggar Vuolo left IBLP in 2017. She wrote Becoming Free, indeed, in 2023, calling the teachings wrong and describing a childhood faith built on fear rather than grace. Jim Bob reportedly disowned her at one point for wearing pants. She now lives in Los Angeles and said the IBLP's teaching left her crippled with anxiety and terrified of the outside world. Amy King, Jim Bob's niece, confirmed her estrangement from the family years ago. Her husband said it plainly, "The Duggars don't talk to us." After Josh's 21 conviction, Amy publicly called out Josh's wife, Anna, for staying, offered Anna's seven children a place to stay, and never heard back. Joanna Forsyth confirmed she and her husband distanced themselves from IBLP after a marriage. And were never formally involved with the organization. Those are not people who found it easy to leave. These are people who have been told from childhood that leaving the umbrella meant abandoning God, and they left anyway. It's not a small thing. When Josh Duggar stood trial in December of 21, Jim Bob Duggar showed up in the courtroom gallery. He sat behind his convicted son, Anna Duggar, who had given birth to their seventh child just weeks before the trial began, attended every single day. Jim Bob and Michelle's statement after the guilty verdict read in part, "As parents, we'll never stop praying for Joshua and loving him as we do all our children." Not a word about the victims, not a word about the children depicted in the illegal material Josh had downloaded and stored on hidden partitions of his work computer at his used car dealership. Just love for Joshua, prayers, God's grace sustaining them through the ordeal of having a son convicted on serious federal charges was in the Duggar family framing something that was happening to Jim Bob and Michelle, not something their son had done to other people's children. Now it's March of 26, and Joseph Duggar awaits extradition to Bay County, Florida. No attorney has been publicly identified. No statement has come from the family. His wife, Kendra, has not spoken publicly. Jim Bob and Michelle have said nothing. Investigators have not confirmed whether they believe there are additional victims beyond the girl who finally came forward after 5 years of carrying this alone. And according to reporting by Fox 5 Atlanta, Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar reportedly told authorities they were aware of the allegations involving Joseph and reportedly chose once again, allegedly, to handle the matter through the church rather than law enforcement. Internal counseling, not a phone call to police. If that reporting is accurate, again, I can't confirm it, but that's what allegedly they're saying over there. It's the second time. Same parent, same choice, same system. A different child paying the price for all of it. Isn't it nice? Shiny, happy people. Here is what this case is actually about. Underneath the mugshots and the affidavits and the charges, the IVLP system was not a footnote to the Duggar story. It was the architecture. It taught perpetrators they could seek forgiveness internally, privately, quietly, within the walls of the church, with no legal accountability. It taught victims that their worth was measured by submission, that speaking outside the family was the real transgression, that the umbrella would protect them as long as they stayed quiet beneath it. It taught parents that God's justice was sufficient, that church elders were enough, that a stern talk and some manual labor could cover what the law would have called a felony. And then it gave that family a television show, a network deal, a political platform, a decade-long national audience of millions of people who had no idea what was happening behind the matching outfits and the wholesome smiles. And the Duggars used every bit of it to stand in front of cameras and tell the rest of this country how to live, while reportedly knowing in their own home exactly what was being buried. A 9-year-old girl on a family vacation deserved better than a blanket, an apology, and 5 years of silence. She got a father who finally made the call. And if you know something about this family, if you were affected by these fuckers, it's time to speak up. Give me your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. It is. It is incumbent upon anyone, if they know that a predator is still in the midst of children, even if they no longer have young children of their own, if there's grandchildren, if there's nieces, nephews, whatever the hell there may be, if there is connection with small children, and you know that somebody has a propensity to do this sort of shit, and you've experienced it, and you've not called them out, and you're a grown-ass adult? Sorry. That is your responsibility at this point. And it's horrible that horrible things have happened to you. And I get not wanting to. But if you can prevent more people from being victimized by these monsters, because they will not stop, then it is upon you to call them out. We'll continue our conversation in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Well, let's start out the week with the Duggars, shall we? We've got a lot of reaction to this story over the last 72 hours. So we're going to get into it because there's a lot of confusion, a lot of complicated dynamics in this story. It's kind of picking up where we left off a couple years ago with Josh, and now apparently another sibling. I guess when you have 19 kids and counting, I guess your odds do go up a certain amount that there is going to be some level of criminal behavior, but then you start to see a pattern of the same sort of things over and over, and it starts to make you go, huh, what's going on here? So we're going to do just that, and I want you guys to weigh in the comments section on YouTube and Substack or Facebook or wherever you're watching us and listening to us right now so you can be part of the conversation as well. With me, as always, Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. So the Duggars, they're here in my town. Like, I've run into them several places over the years. I opened the door for Jim Bob not that long ago at a burger restaurant. And I didn't even realize, I'm like, oh, and they just kept coming. It was like a clown train.
You can tell by the tribe behind him.
It was literally like, I'm there and I'm like, just like opening the door, like as you do. And I'm like, he looks familiar. I'm like, oh God, it's them. And then they just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. And they were, I mean, it was just a simple interaction. They were very friendly and polite. I was polite back. I was hoping to God they hadn't seen me go off on rants about their brother, which I don't think they did. But
they don't do social media till they're married.
Yeah, is that part of the thing? Is it like once you get married, you may use the internet?
Yeah. Oh, so Tony, you know, we're chatting before the show. This weekend was all about learning about the Duggars, and that's why I'm smiling. I love myself man.
This is all our opinion. This is, you know, allegedly insert all that stuff there.
And when you read the, you know, I've been listening to Jill's book all week, yesterday and today mostly, and I'm about 3 or 4 hours into it. And it's, I love, because, you know, when you have source material that gives you great context rather than just court material, it really gives you a deeper understanding of what makes people do things, how this actually happened. And so that's what I've been able to kind of really pour through. So I've been really diving deep. And man, cults are, and again, I characterizing a cult, they wouldn't say it's a cult. And it's kind of on the fringes of it. And we'll obviously dive into it. But it's a definitely fascinating belief system, which, if it wasn't corrupted by evil deeds, you know, it's wholesome, it's nice, it's, and to a degree, you know, so, yeah.
Well, I mean, couldn't like any religion, I guess, be wholesome and nice to a certain, I mean, I guess there's some you could clearly argue could not be, but.
But
I think if a pure one at its core, where it's not trying to control people, where it's, but at the end of the day, aren't they all trying to control people?
That is when you really dive religion. Deep.
Yeah.
The oldest religion is control. And that's what it all comes. And again, as a species, you know, just evolutionarily wise, you know, we didn't evolve beyond, you know, what chimpanzees can do is roughly 100, 150 is the biggest tribe they can manage. But the way you go beyond that, the way we did as a species is religion, because it offered a cause and effect control. It was the first legal system that comes into play. So there's consequences for actions. And so it allows us to evolve as a society. It's how we did evolve. But there's oodles and oodles of religions out there, offsprings of them, offspurts. But in all these cases where they take such a, and again, when you dive into the background of their religion, I can't remember.
I believe.
Fundamentalist Baptist, extreme conservatism. There's a lot of really nice things in there when it comes to family and feeling safe. And the whole premise is to how do you feel safe and provide a sense of security in a chaotic world? I mean, that's what really attracts people into this. But inevitably you get some nutter in there that does a lot of harm when they take advantage of that system. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I saw, in case you're just getting caught up here and wondering what's going on, Joseph Duggar is the latest one to face charges. He's 31. He was arrested on March 18th of this year, 26, in Arkansas. He faces charges in Bay County, Florida, related to an alleged incident from 2020 during a family vacation in Panama City Beach. Now, before everybody starts jumping into the, well, that was 5 years ago. Yeah, and the kid was 9. Okay, they're 14 now. Because I've already heard this argued this weekend, where the first thing is, well, it was like 5. Yeah, they were 9. They know what that. Good luck figuring out what's happening to you from those that are around you that are supposed to be respectable, trustworthy, and very godly adults. And then you turn out a couple of years later. Oh, you mean what he was doing to me under the blanket was inappropriate? Yeah, and you wouldn't know it when you're 9 unless that has been exposed to you as something horrible and bad. Well, he came clean on it. Like, he's admitted to it. So anybody who's going to go down the road of, well, it's these years later, he's admitted to it.
Yeah. You know why? It's part of the religion.
Yeah.
So as long as as long as you admit it and your sin is forgiven, that's what it's all about.
So is it just don't get caught then? I mean, don't, like, if you get caught, then you got to admit it. But if you're admitting to it, then you know it was wrong.
But you only admit it to parents, because parents are the ultimate authority, not the legal system. Although they don't tell you not to talk to the legal system. So it's, again, they have their hierarchy and that's what I've been doing my deep dive on. It's like, how does this system work? And so the parents are the ultimate authority at all times. Honor thy parents. And Jill, in her book, was talking originally about how she thought that was until the age that they get their own families, their own marriage, but it doesn't really end. Because if you think about it, they have reps from a very, very young age. So for the sake of argument, we'll use the word cult, not in a negative context or anything, just as a collective mindset. So when we think of cults and we think of, like, the Vance Davidians or whatever it is, you know, and people that are sucked into these groups and organizations at an older age, then those reps they have as part of the indoctrination only happen for a period of time. And a lot of times, once they're mature or mature-ish in their 20s, maybe late teens, 30s, 40s, what happens is that inside a family of, you know, 14, I think when they started the TV specials on the Learning Channel, and then up to 19, you're indoctrinated in reps from birth that this is the way it is, this is what makes you feel safe, because they use throughout all the descriptions, fear is the greatest motivator, and the only way to overcome fear is to feel safe in family, and who makes you feel safe is the parents and their belief in God. So it's the structure is very cloistered, very exclusive, but it's also like every time they're exposed to something, the parents would explain it. The parents would say, do this, do this, do this. They had a lot of what they thought was transparency and openness and communication internal to the family, but they were never educated, Jill said, on sex education. It was very, very rudimentary, not appropriate or not appropriate. And the big thing above all else was forgiveness. Always must forgive, and it's a sin not to forgive. So they were in fear of not forgiving abhorrent behavior. See, I mean, it's a bad cycle if something really wrong happens.
Yes, it locks in predatory behavior.
Yes, over it does.
And, I mean, it enables it completely. And you hope to, and I guess here, I don't know if this is the theory of it, where it's like, okay, if everyone in this religion or in this family is perfect and without sin, which none of them are, I guess it could function okay, you know, but that's assuming that there's not one bad apple in here that's going to push it too far. Because, I mean, and in principle, the forgiveness thing, I mean, it's okay if you're like playing basketball or something and somebody shoved somebody a little bit too much. My bad. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I got, you know, innocent things like I stole a cookie, whatever, things that aren't like traumatizing for the rest of one's life. Then okay, I get that. But the thing is, it's like they seem to like enter it on this plane of delusion that nobody would ever go and do the horrific shit that these Duggar children have been accused of doing and have admitted to doing. It's like that assumption, it's like it doesn't equate. So it's never considered in the whole factor of existence in the way that these people function because, well, nobody does that. We're all godly human beings. And then the second someone does, it's not necessarily, let's prevent this from happening again. It's just ask for forgiveness and move on.
Right, because there's no accountability.
Yeah, as if it were something really minute.
No accountability. And at the first iteration that Josh was accused of this, the thing that Jill pointed out also was there was no therapy. There's no counseling. No. They don't believe any of that. They sent them away to work hard. That's it. Every time he had a transgression, just go work harder. We'll separate you from the family. You'll be fixed by hard work and then you come back. Zero accountability for that. And we talked about last week with Coffendeffer a bit, you know, this, actually, no, it wasn't Coff. It was Siobhan, love bombing that they do in these in particular cases. And so what's happening here is, you know what, Jill, it really struck me reading it and listening to it with Jill, one of the siblings, was they validation bomb you. So you're constantly going for approval, always approval. So your actions, if they're righteous actions, you get approval. And that's what all the children were seeking was approval. And so who defines what you get approval for? The parents. And so the internal structure is extremely rigid and kind from their context. It's a fascinating situation they're in.
Yeah, and how could you go up against the leaders, because they just seem like kind of jovial doofuses.
Yeah,
the aura I would say that Jim Bob had put out for all those years of I'm just kind of this goofy guy, you know, like not threatening. When you see him, there's plenty of threatening folks out there that are like, oh God, he's not one of them.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what we saw on the surface. That's what we saw publicized. When we actually get down to, you know, some more brass tacks and accusations from behind the scenes, it's like, oh, maybe everything was not as perfect as all supposed to be. I'm not accusing him of any crime or anything like that.
And no malicious intent. Yeah. I mean, not malicious, you know, and we see that with other cults. You know, this is not a Lori Daybell Vallow kind of cult. This is no malicious intent. This is just stupid.
It's malicious through ignorance, is what it is.
Yeah,
and I think in a lot of ways,
incidental maliciousness. There you go.
And at some point, where does the line get drawn? Where your head's in the sand? Pull it out. Pull your ass out of the sand. This is insane. Because it keeps going. You can't keep pretending that there's not a problem here, or you're just going to pray it away. But that seems to be the way that they try to do it. Joseph, the one who's been charged now, he grew up watching his family protect Josh from consequences for years. If you want to go way back, we don't have to relitigate Josh. But we get into that where he had the accusations against the sisters. The sisters came out. The sisters were kind of forced to go on Megyn Kelly and downplay all the bullshit, which was then they've talked about in years later in Shiny Happy People and in her book, to basically, you know, kind of keep the peace, keep everybody happy. Mm-hmm. And we didn't even know what happened. It turns out, they did. And Josh knew what he was doing, too. And then they kept pretending that Josh didn't know anything about the birds and the bees all the way up to his televised wedding. I mean, it was just one big ruse the whole time. And I don't buy for a second that Jim, Bob, and Michelle weren't aware that, you know, this was going on. They were aware, but they seemed to think that he was healed and that these sort of things wouldn't continue on. And then he goes on into life, has this car dealership, and then gets busted because he partitions off his computer to have a second half of it strictly for CSAM material, basically. That's why he's in jail now until 2032 or something. Right. So there's Josh. So Joseph grows up watching this, and he watches some of the family run away, some of the family depart and have nothing to do anymore, while mom and dad, everybody sits there, we will love our children forever, and we forgive, and blah, 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 blah. So when you have this going on, and basically there's not any real consequences, I guess, to the actions from within the family. It's still love. It's still this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Josh is away. Josh's reaction to this has been, we'll get to that in a little bit. He was calling it, he used a term that was insane. Basically stating that this whole thing is just exploitation and it's fantasy. When his brother
he set himself up as a victim.
Yeah, it's like, no, Josh, this is nothing nothing to do with you. This is not sensationalized. Sensationalized fiction is what he said. He admitted to it, Josh. It's not fiction. I don't know what world you like to live in where you're still saying everything's fiction. He clearly hasn't really atoned for his sins, if you will, if he's still kind of going down that road. What do you think about this? Just the fact that you have this sort of environment growing up. You have a brother who had been accused of these things, has been found guilty of these offenses, you know, in this range. Is it remotely shocking at all then that you have another sibling that somehow seems to go down this road? I mean, even worse road, I would say, than Josh, because he's a grown ass adult.
Yeah. The research I did on this asking that same question, how does this happen? So the research will show, who knows what happened to this family. There's been no reports of this, but the research will show that typically a pedophile inside a family, it just doesn't blossom out of nowhere. There's been some sort of exposure in the past that actually gives them this idea of this, especially if it's internal to the family. So that's just a nugget to be kept aware of, that there's been no charges, there's no other claims of anything, but it just doesn't blossom. But I then did some research. How would it blossom? How would this happen if there was no prior exposure to this? Is someone just miswired or rewired or whatever the hell's going on, you know, the nature versus nurture thing? There might be some of that, but the way the household structure and their religion and home was laid out, it was set up for this. And this is how. Very small house when they're growing up, basically three bedrooms, as I understand it, you know, one for all the girls, one for all the boys.
And then they got their compound eventually when the TV show kicked in.
Right. You know. But very, very strict when it came to any kind of sexualization. There was none. And what they wore is very, very strict internally. They did not talk about the birds and bees. You didn't do any, you didn't even have social media. Social media wasn't allowed until you're married.
Yep.
When they went to a beach, when they went anywhere, they had a term they called Nike, which meant all the boys had to look down because it was, and from their religious standpoint, it's the girls' fault if they're looking provocative to entice boys. That's doing a broad sweep.
It is. No, and it is. So, it's, yeah, they go over that in the shiny, happy people.
Right. And so what happens is when you're in super close proximity, where family activity, where you are under blankets, you're cuddling, you're doing all these things, and you're not exposed to the sexuality that emerges as you start becoming teenagers and what is appropriate, not appropriate. And the big thing that plays into that is the ultimate authority of age. And so as Josh is one of the older males, everything trickles down. So everyone has to listen to and respect the authority because they are the protectors. The males in this organization, in this religion, are the ultimate protectors for everyone feeling safe. And whatever they say is gospel because they are the voice of God inside that house. And so that's where that perfect storm starts happening internally. And then when something does go sideways, forgiveness. It's a recipe for all it takes is one little bad seed and the entire thing blows up because, and my final point on this, I apologize, is so we've seen so many cases where people do abhorrent things like Corey Richens because she grew up with zero guardrails and so she's all over the place. I can do whatever I want. What's interesting here is there's very, very strict guardrails. There's guardrails for their religious behavior like this. But unfortunately, what they're doing to what Josh and his brothers accused of doing to the girls inside this house and others didn't really fall within that guardrail. It falls within legal guardrails. Legal guardrails are way out here, but the church guardrails and their household guardrails are here. So it was all nebulous. So it got forgiven in here. It never reached out here because we don't report. We keep things hushed. They are conflict avoiders to the nth degree. And how do you avoid conflict? We don't share. We forgive. There you go.
Yeah. And I want to get into some of that, the legal ends of it, in our next segment where we talk a little bit more about the religion itself, because it's insane.
I know. I was pouring out everything I was consuming the last couple of days.
I
know.
I fell asleep and I've watched it before. I watched it when it came out a couple of years ago, Shiny Happy People, which is on Amazon. Highly recommend if you want to get a good education or a crash course on this.
Makes for good TV.
I fell asleep watching to it last night and I had nightmares of the Duggars. I'm not even kidding. Like, I woke up and I had her voice in my head, Mama, and she's talking like this and everything. I'm like, oh my God. You know,
you have nightmares. I get giddy when I see craziness like this. I'm like, oh man, this is a great show. Look at this crazy nutter.
It's Kendra. Let's talk about her. She was 19. This is the wife of Joseph here. She was busted over the on Friday, and I think there's a lot of confusion here. So I want to make this clear.
Yep.
These are two separate cases. There's Arkansas charges. There's Florida charges. Florida charges are against. He looks like a freaking like one of those dolls that you like stick your hand in, like the Charlie McCarthy kind of like right. he looks like he could be a Charlie McCarthy family of dolls. We're looking at the image on YouTube right now. If you're by the way, anyway, there was two charges, Arkansas and Florida. The Arkansas charges, are different. Four counts of second degree false imprisonment, four counts of second degree endangering the welfare of a child. Why are there Arkansas charges and Florida charges? Well, because he has to be extradited back to Florida for his far more serious charges, lewd and lascivious charges of, I'm not going to say the words because I don't want YouTube to ban us, for victims less than 12 and lascivious behavior by a person 18 years or older. So it's because he was 18 years or older and the allegations go back to when this child was 9. Apparently took a blanket, put him over them and then used his hands and holy shit. And then comes out, the child finally realizes, hey, I had this memory about this happening. Talks to dad about it. Dad gets on the phone with Joseph Duggar. And then also on a second call with a tiny town police officer here, a detective. And then he gets Joseph to admit it on the phone.
Yeah.
There you go. He did it. So Florida charges are that against him. The local ones, what happens in Arkansas, and I think in a lot of states, it automatically triggers a local investigation to what's going on here in their home because they have children. So they went to the compound, the one we've all seen on TV, and they discovered from, again, this part I can't confirm, but some reporting has been saying, essentially, and it makes sense with the charges here, of the false imprisonment, which basically comes down to they reversed locks, allegedly, on some of the doors. So meaning a door where the lock is on the outside, like into the hallway, and then the person on the inside can't get out. Kind of, you could create a false imprisonment in a bedroom or something if you wanted to. That's what some are reporting. I can't confirm it, but that it does kind of sound, it's a misdemeanor, it's a light charge, but it is what they found in the house when they went to go do their welfare check that was triggered by the charges in Florida. So she has that. She has another hearing coming up shortly. They're misdemeanor charges. But when you have someone like this, she's 19. She was raised in this sort of environment too by another family of the same faith, and I put in air quotes. Mm-hmm. And then you dig, then you become part of this family. I feel bad for her. I mean, she's a grown-ass adult too. She's in her 20s. At some point, and maybe this is the window. Maybe this is the bottom of the barrel. Maybe this is the warning sign here for you. The canary in the coal mine, but I think the canary just like swallowed half your family. Wake up and get the hell out. Because my God, look at what this system is. Look at what but she knows no different. And that's got to be such a difficult thing. I mean, you got Jill, who's written the book and has come out talking about her experiences. I guess start looking at other folks who've left this system as a place, a starting point to try and figure out a path out. I mean, what do you think here? Is this something where somebody hits this moment and they need to say, okay, no more.
Yeah, it's really, I'm just thinking about it. As you just laid everything out, Tony, it is literally world shattering.
Yeah.
Because from birth, from your first memories, you have this image of your parents, of your family, of this tight-knit, safe group that you have a belief system that has brought great security. You are love bombed. You are validation bombed. And none of it disingenuous either. And that's what I found really compelling about reading her book and understanding what's going on here. there's no intent of taking advantage of people. This is really about trying to overly protect your family and your kids, because in this religion, the kids are God's quivers. I think that's what they call them.
Yeah, the quiverful movement. And then you also you start shitting out kids the second that you can. And then that anchors you into the family, and you can't get out because this is where she's at. She's already shit out four kids. And now guess what? You're pretty much indoctrinated into this family.
And speaking out against that, how do you? Because that's your entire image of yourself and your entire world. It's not like you knew another world. Like people that are indoctrinated into cults later in life, they had a life before the cult, and so they can have a compare and contrast. There's no compare and contrast here. It's completely their identity. But it's striking because there's so many striking things. I actually looked at the Amish comparatively, because Amish is another, you know, religious compartmentalized, you know, way of life thinking. And the Duggars have only 11%. I think this church in general has only 11% people that stay in the church. As opposed, I got the numbers. I think the Amish have 98% stay in the Amish. And so I researched, where are my numbers? Oh, 85% stay Amish. Here's why. Because the Amish, it's an entire way of life, an entire community. It's job security. It's learning a trade. It's responsibility. Now, granted, the claims of abuse are equal across all these, across the two religions, because they keep them in house, they keep them internal, and so they don't get reported. So it's very hard to get accurate reporting. But because of the way that their church, being the Duggars, interact and allow people to interact with the regular world, there's a bigger draw, more temptation, and more chaos going on than the Amish community. It's interesting.
It is. And we're going to get into the structure of the...
I'm sorry, am I jumping ahead on us again?
No. We're actually going to do that right now. We're going to start jumping into the structure of this, of the IBLP, and really what has formed, what is the recipe? I mean, the Duggars, basically, you know, they're their own mixing bowl. They made their own recipe, their kids, and this is what we have. But what was the recipe? What was the bigger mixing bowl that made the Duggars? What created Jim Bob and his wife? What was behind all that? That's what we're about to get into in our next segment. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss it here in the feed, and give us your thoughts on this piece in the comment section on YouTube and Substack. We'd love to hear from you.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They're also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.